This is Building Bridges, your community and labor report. I'm Mimi Rosenberg.
And I'm Ken Nash. On today's Building Bridges, the achievements reached by women throughout the Bolivarian process with Venezuelan women in the Bolivarian Revolution. Maria del Mar Alvarez de Lovera, National Women's Defender, Raina Oretia, member of the Presidential Commission Against Racism, and Yolanda Jaimes, Venezuelan Supreme Court judge.
I have three radiant women here, and they are radiant not only because of their looks, but they're radiant because they come from a country now that give great hope in a very dismal world. Why don't we begin by finding out what the purpose of the trip to the United States is, and let us begin with our member of the Supreme Court.
En primer lugar, gracias a esta emisora radial por darnos la oportunidad de conversar con este pueblo. La misión fundamental en el caso mío, que soy magistrada del Tribunal Supremo de Justicia.
First, thank you very much for the opportunity to speak to this country. My first mission is to participate in the convention here in front of the United Nations as the Supreme Court judge, which has to do with all forms of discrimination against women. I consider this an honor because it is in a very important vinculation to what is occurring to the Venezuelan women today.
Gracias por darnos la oportunidad de poder conversar con los oyentes de esta emisora. Como dijo la magistrada, estamos acá para hacer la defensa del informe de país ante la Convención contra toda la forma de discriminación contra la mujer.
That is Reina Arratia speaking. She's a member of the Commission Against Racism. And she says, thank you very much for welcoming us here today. And our first mission here is in defense of women in Venezuela.
Estoy aquí igualmente en la defensa del informe que ha presentado Venezuela, relatando pues todo el esfuerzo que hace en favor de los derechos de las mujeres, los derechos humanos de las mujeres en Venezuela.
That is Maria del Mar Alvarez de Lovera speaking. She's from the National Women's Defender Fund. She says she is here also in defense of women in regards to the information packet that represents Venezuela in front of the United Nations.
I know that your particular story is most insightful, that indeed that your husband, I believe, was killed during the democracy movement. And maybe you can just tell us a little bit more about your own background.
Sí, en la década del 60 en Venezuela fue una época muy dura. La política de Estado era realmente reprimir y desaparecer y torturar a aquellas personas que enfrentaran los errores del gobierno. En esa época, mi esposo, Alberto Lovera, fue detenido, pero nunca reconocieron que lo habían detenido.
During the 60s in Venezuela, it was a very difficult time for the people there because at that time, state policy was to torture, to kill, or to get rid of anyone that was against the state. At that time, my husband, Alberto Lovera, was detained, even though it was not recognized that he was being detained, and then he showed up on one of the beaches in Venezuela, dead. When they found him, he was in chains with some type of sword or a very long, like a pole going through his body, and he was floating on the water. A fisherman happened to see him and picked him up. And afterwards, they were forced to say that it was Alberto Lovera. The case with Alberto Lovera isn't the only one. In the 60s and the 70s, there are over 1,000 cases similar to this one.
Creo que es uno de los crímenes más horribles que ha ocurrido durante el periodo democrático en mi país. Los magistrados debemos luchar por la defensa y la preservación de los derechos humanos. No debe haber diferencia.
This is probably one of the worst crimes that have occurred in my country. The Supreme Court judge should work towards human rights issues. There should not be any difference with regards to whether it's a man or a woman. These are cases that we must pursue. Venezuela has recognized this person, this martyr for Venezuela.
Reina, if you could tell us a bit about the work of the Commission Against Racism.
El año pasado se instala una comisión presidencial donde participan varias instituciones del Estado venezolano, como el Ministerio de Educación, el Ministerio de Cultura, el Instituto Nacional de la Mujer y organizaciones afrovenezolanas.
Last year, a presidential commission took place where there were different organizations that came out of it. One of them was the Ministry of Culture, a women's group, and also an organization of Afro-Venezuelans against racism. It's the first time in the history of the country where such important steps to get rid of racism take place. Before President Chavez came to power, before the 1999, I'd have to say that Venezuela had a very racist state policies. This is the first time that my country takes into consideration issues of racism in order to give Afro-Venezuelans opportunities. Racism is manifested via various different mediums, for example, the communication medium as television, radio, and newspapers. Today, there are different commissions, like the Commission for the Indigenous and the Blacks, that are helping put a stop to this. One of the ways that racism is manifested is, for example, against the president. They call him a Sambo or a black, and they compare him by his skin color and use that to disqualify him as president of the country. And they use this and say these things via the private media. In the private media, we see very few indigenous and black people. And when we do see them, they're always doing jobs that are extremely inferior. And also, the expressions that they use to speak about the indigenous or the black people are also degrading.
I want to turn my attention for a moment. I very seldom have an opportunity to get to speak to a justice of the Supreme Court. I certainly wouldn't in this country. But I wanted to just ask about one of the significant issues that is raging in this country with the Supreme Court is the extent of executive power and what power the court can have to harness executive power. I was wondering how the court is structured in Venezuela and the relationship of the judiciary branch to its executive branch.
En Venezuela, con la nueva constitución, se han conformado cinco poderes en vez de tres, como era antes.
With the new constitution, instead of there being three powers, now there are five.
Poder ejecutivo, legislativo y judicial.
The legislative.
Legislativo, judicial.
Judicial, electoral.
Y moral.
Moral.
El ejecutivo, que lo integra el presidente de la república.
The executive is run by the president of the republic.
Con sus ministros.
And the minister.
El legislativo, la asamblea nacional.
Legislative is run by the National Assembly.
Una sola cámara de diputados tiene.
It only has one house, and it has an important number of women representatives. And the judicial, that has the highest court, which is called the Supreme Court, it has 32 magistrates and six commissions.
Una sala constitucional.
Each of these commissions have five magistrates, with the exception of the Constitutional Commission that has seven. The commission of these people is done via a special committee
ante el cual
where the universities, the cities, they all pick a candidate. The assembly chooses from what the universities and the different towns have given them. They choose one commission. The first people that are elected from there, then they pass to a second voting, and then they return to be finalized by this assembly
in order for them to define
who will be chosen out of them.
Esto lo señalo porque antes no era así.
I point this out because before it was not like
no
this.
Era así. Antes, los partidos de gobierno
before the government
escogían
would
a
choose
a los magistrados.
Who were the magistrates.
Y se repartían sus cuotas de poder.
And they would divide up their
cinco
powers.
Para ti y cinco para mí.
Here's five for you,
por
five
ejemplo.
For me.
Ahora no.
So all members of the Supreme Court are elected?
A través de del mecanismo.
Yes.
Que acabo de señalar.
Via the mechanism that I just mentioned.
Y su periodo de 12 años.
With a period of 12 years.
El poder electoral.
The electoral power.
Que es el que maneja todo el proceso electoral del país.
Which is what handles all the electoral decisions in the country.
Y dirigido por un presidente.
And direct by one president and various vocals.
Y el poder moral que lo integran.
And the moral powers.
Contralor. General de la República,
accountant,
fiscal general de la República,
fiscal attorney general,
y defensor del pueblo,
and defender of the people.
Son cinco poderes que tienen autonomía cada uno.
There are five powers that have autonomy, each one.
Tienen sus propias normativas jurídicas que los rige.
They have their own regulations that control what they do.
Y existe el principio de colaboración entre los poderes, pero hay independencia entre ellos. Hay colaboración entre los poderes.
They're able to cooperate with the other commission.
Pero existe la independencia y autonomía
independent
de
and autonomous of each other.
If there's a difference in the interpretation of the Constitution between the executive and the Supreme Court, which is the deciding voice?
El que decide la interpretación constitucional es la sala constitucional.
The one who decides.
Quien decide, quien interpreta.
Who,
la norma constitucional.
Who interprets the
y es la que tiene valor,
norm,
supremacía, es la sala constitucional.
Is the Supreme Court.
De la Corte, claro. Esa es la última palabra.
The Supreme Court has the last word.
Es lo máximo.
I also wanted to ask Maria what issues concern the Commission on Women that she's a part of.
Instituto Nacional de la Mujer, y en mi carácter de defensora de los derechos de la mujer, lo más que estudiamos y nos preocupa realmente es la violencia contra la mujer. Sí, tenemos una ley sobre la violencia contra la mujer.
The National Women's Institute, and in my position as a defender of women, what we most concentrate on is violence against women. We have one law against women's brutality. We offer free services for women who come to us. We also give workshops as regarding what rights they're entitled to. We teach them that they have laws that protect them and that they do not need to accept any type of violence against them. This is the first time that we're carrying through laws that protect women, and it's now been 6 years that we're seeing more and more cases come where women are finally speaking about how they're having violence against them.
Está rompiendo el silencio.
Finally, women are breaking their silence.
En la misma ley sobre
in the same law that protects women against violence, we have a law that protects women against sexual harassment. This article also protects and punishes
and fines a las mujeres víctimas de acoso sexual.
This law also protects women and fines institutions or jobs or different work areas where women encounter this type of discrimination or this type of violence.
What about economic inequality of wages in the workplace and so on, which is so often prevalent?
Sí, mira, en las instituciones gubernamentales, el salario de la mujer que realiza el mismo trabajo que el hombre es exactamente igual. Ahí no hay discriminación salarial.
There is no salary discrimination within the working field. Women are paid exactly the same as men are.
Y las que trabajan en las empresas privadas,
the ones that work in, for private companies,
se pueden amparar a lo que, en lo que llamamos allá la inspectoría del trabajo.
And the ones that work for private industries, they are protected by inspectors.
So there's equal pay for equal work between women and men?
Yes.
There's equal pay basically within the government, those positions that fall underneath governmental position.
Let's talk about the pay. There may be equal pay, but in this country, in the U.S., the pay for workers seems to be stagnating or going down. Is this the case in Venezuela?
No,
no. Just the reverse.
Todos los años hay un aumento para los trabajadores.
There's an increase for all the workers.
Sobre todo aquellos obreros que ganan menos.
Especially for the people that are earning less money.
And the same for people of African ancestry. Here we have a system that is being eroded, unfortunately, called affirmative action. Is there an affirmative expression to compensate for people who have been discriminated against because of race?
No.
No.
No, no existe ninguna compensación.
No, no compensation exists.
Pero yo creo que lo que está sucediendo...
Un momento. Not monetary compensation.
La medida positiva. La medida positiva. Okay.
But... opportunity.
Pero en este momento se está desarrollando en el país una acción por parte del gobierno nacional y es de el hecho de tener una comisión presidencial para atender lo que tiene que ver con la discriminación racial. Y
what the government is doing is they're bringing about a program, and what they've done is to create this commission to, that deals with all this racism. Some institutions of the state, for example, the Women's Bank, what they're doing is they're looking at the Afro-Venezuelan race, the indigenous race, and they're evaluating what exactly has occurred. They're giving credits. They're giving credits, especially in states where, in cities and towns, where the majority of the citizens are Black or indigenous. For the first time, with the missions, especially with the missions, the ones that are directed towards health, which is called Barrio Adentro, it is offered all over the state. The indigenous, just as the Black, the Afro descendants, and just like the rest of the poor population of the country, they are receiving medical care. There's something also that I want to say, and that is in our Constitution, there is a chapter that recognizes the indigenous communities. And recently, in December, a law was created for the indigenous communities that now have representation in parliament.
No, para la comunidad afrodescendiente.
This doesn't exist for the Afro descendants.
Pero estamos haciendo planteamientos los afrodescendientes y las afrodescendientes.
But we are pursuing it so that there will be a reform to the Constitution, so that the laws for Afro-descendants will also be recognized. And the president of the country has manifested his desire to give more opportunities to Afro-descendants.
Yolanda, what would you say the primary difference in the court system is under Hugo Chavez versus his predecessor?
Yo creo que la principal diferencia y tal vez
I think the prime
la más significativa
and the most significant
es la independencia de criterio,
the independence of criteria
que mantenemos los magistrados,
that the judges have.
Porque se trata de un cuerpo, yo lo califico de heterogéneo, y eso nos permite a nosotros fijar posición con respecto a determinados problemas jurídicos de la vida
from
del
a
país.
Judicial standpoint of the country.
Había alineamientos políticos que
before,
se seguían.
There were political elements that would just follow groups.
Era impensable que una persona.
It was unheard of.
No vinculada
that a person
a los partidos políticos que dirigían
would not follow the political groups.
Así fuera un abogado muy brillante y muy destacado.
If it was a very brilliant lawyer,
pudiera llegar a la Corte Suprema de Justicia. Era imposible. Se democratizó la corte, se democratizó el tribunal.
Before it was completely impossible for someone who did not follow the particular political party to reach the Supreme Court, whereas now everyone can practice, they can be an individual regardless of the political party.
At this time, our government, not our people, but the government has much antagonism to President Chavez. And we would like to give each one of you an opportunity to tell the people here what you think is important for us to know about the new Venezuela.
Por lo que a mí respecta, me gustaría
que
este pueblo conociera los cambios
that this country would recognize the changes that are going about, especially in the judicial area.
Tenemos una hermosa constitución.
We have a beautiful constitution
promulgada en el 99
that came about in 1999.
Que por primera vez en la historia
de
América
Latina, first time in the history of Latin America,
utiliza un lenguaje no sexista.
We use a language that is non-sexist.
Y esto de por sí es algo hermoso para
and
nosotros, para
this,
las mujeres.
Without a doubt, is something very beautiful for us women.
Y además tiene un profundo respeto a los derechos humanos.
And it has a profound respect for human rights issues.
Y a los derechos de los pueblos indígenas.
And the rights of the indigenous people.
Y a los afrodescendientes.
And the afrodescendants.
Hay que reconocerlo. Realmente
you have to recognize this.
Es una carta fundamental hermosa.
One has to recognize that it is just an incredible, beautiful work of art.
Para mí, quiero pues que este pueblo sepa que durante los 40 años de la llamada democracia representativa, en mi país los pobres, las mujeres, los afrovenezolanos y los grupos indígenas.
For me, I would like this country to know that during 40 years of the so-called democracy, representative democracy, in my country, the poor people, women, Afro-Venezuelans, and the indigenous groups, we were excluded from policies. There were no public policies that favored us. Today, with the government of President Chavez, we have the opportunity to reach, like in my case, a black woman that comes from a very poor family, that I've been able to achieve a position within the government before President Chavez came to power. Today, we have this opportunity to participate, that the country is able to manifest their opinions. We're having the right to health care, to education. Today, my country is free of illiteracy. And women, our rights today, as human beings, are being recognized and are present in our constitution.
Una de las cosas que más admiro
one
de
of
este
the
gobierno
things that I most admire about this government
es que no tiene ni perseguidos políticos
is that it is not pursuing political prisoners
ni ha torturado a nadie
nor has it tortured anyone
ni ha desaparecido
nor
a
has
los presos.
It disappeared any prisoners
y está rescatando la memoria
and it is rescuing the memory
de esas personas muertas
of those
desaparecidas y torturadas
killed, disappeared, tortured
de los 40 años de una democracia entre comillas
of those 40 years where there were supposedly in quotes democracy.
Well, I just have one more question. Are there any jobs for some good lawyers on the Supreme Court in Venezuela?
Yes or no?
Sí o no.
Posiblemente.
Help send Mimi to Venezuela.
No, pero me encantaría que pues que gente tan interesante, inteligente y grata
formara
parte del Tribunal Supremo de Justicia de mi país.
The judicial Supreme Court in my country.
Well, really, I thank all of you for giving us,
muchas gracias por darnos la oportunidad,
who really live in a very bleak, oppressive administration.
Backward.
A very backward administration.
Nosotros que vivimos
such
en un
hope.
País.
Latin America really shines right now.
And this has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report, produced by Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash. And you can reach us at knash@igc.org. That's knash@igc.org.